You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, talking about a Twins team that entered the week with the best record in the American League. Having said that, it hasn't all been rosy here for the Twins the past week or so. I want to bring in Rhett Bollinger to talk about that. Rhett, the Twins, obviously a big series this week against the second-place Royals. And it seems like a chance to make a statement that, you know, not just the way things have gone the last few days, the Twins coming off their second home series loss of the season, but just in general, I mean, this is a team you want to prove your worth against on a consistent basis if you're going to win this division.
Yeah, definitely. It's a big series for the Twins. Obviously, it's still only early June, but definitely a chance to kind of see how they stack up against the Royals, who are a team that, you know, obviously went to the World Series last year, off to a good start again this season. Twins could kind of see how they match up. The Twins right now recently have been kind of playing some teams that have been struggling a little bit, teams like the Brewers, who did take 2 out of 3 against the Twins, and teams like the Blue Jays and Red Sox, who haven't really lived up to expectations so far in the AL East. So now they kind of get a real test here and a real challenge against a team that's played really well, and a team that's played well against them so far this season. The Twins manager, Paul Molitor, talked a little bit about the series heading into it, just kind of saying that he doesn't really want to put too much pressure, too much stock into it yet, just because it is so early in the season. But at the same time, it's kind of a good test for some of these younger guys or guys that have kind of been around for a few seasons, like the Brian Dozers or Trevor Plouffe, those type of guys that have only been really around when the Twins have struggled. And now they kind of get a taste of what it's like to play in a big series against a team that's kind of competing for the division title so far early this season.
Red, let's talk about the moves they made this week with Danny Santana optioned out to the minors. We talked before about his struggles at the plate, and maybe that was predictable with what he did with batting average and batting average on balls in play last season. A lot of people thought he was a candidate for regression, a lot more than people anticipated. Escobar takes over at shortstop. Eduardo Nunez is Vargas is back. Those moves for us, if you will.
Sure. I mean, it was kind of one of those things where, like you said, where I think with Danny Santana, it wasn't a huge surprise to take a step back. You said some of those advanced metrics showed that last year was a little bit fluky for a rookie season to have as good of a season as he did. But at the same time, I don't think anyone saw him stepping back this much, to struggle as much as he had. It's clearly kind of one of those things, too, where I think a lot of it was mental by the end of it, where he was really kind of pressing and just trying to recapture that, kind of, if you say, magic that he had last year. It just really wasn't happening for him. So I think it made a lot of sense for him to go down to AAA now, kind of be able to regroup a little bit, find his swing, kind of clear his head. There's not as much pressure down there. So it made a lot of sense. And to bring up Kenny Vargas made sense, too, because for the team that kind of has really lacked a middle of the kind of order bat recently, with kind of going down to a 13-man pitching staff, they've been using, you know, a lot of Eduardo Nunez or Eduardo Escobar as their DH and as their fifth hitter and sixth hitter. And I think Vargas fits that mold obviously better as a guy that can provide a little bit more power, a little more pop than those guys to kind of take over the everyday DH role again. And he was hitting pretty well at AAA after he got sent down, but a lot of it was kind of early, the last like 10 days or so. Hitting for an okay average down there, but the power wasn't there for Vargas. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see if he made any adjustments, because up here early in the year, I think the big issue was just him chasing so many pitches out of the zone and striking out too much. And the power wasn't really there as much either. So it's going to be kind of important for him to kind of show that he made some adjustments and is better for it, for going down to AAA. But both moves definitely made sense for now. We just kind of got to see how both these guys do now going forward.
Brett, I'll be curious how the DH situation is handled from here, because it seems that, you know, one big key for this team, especially with a staff that's not a very strikeout-prone pitching staff, one big key has been the improved outfield defense. And I think one element of that has been Torii Hunter. Paul Molitor has been keeping his legs fresh by giving him those DH days. And those have been more frequent of late. I think four of his first seven starts in June were at DH. And I think he started there 8 times in May. So now Vargas comes back. And that strikes me as an interesting dynamic night to night, how he handles that DH spot. Does Hunter continue to get those days to rest his legs?
Yeah, I think Hunter will still get his days here and there. Maybe not as much now that they have Vargas, who's really going to spend most of his time at DH. I think Vargas will play first base here and there to spell Maurer when Maurer needs a day or Maurer goes to DH on those days. So I do think you're right in that sense, and I think it's interesting to kind of see how much it does affect Hunter. So the Twins are definitely trying to keep him fresh just because they know that he's 39 years old. Obviously off to a good start again this year. But, yeah, it's one of those things where I do think that Vargas is going to get a lot of the bulk of the playing time at DH, but I'm sure a lot of it's going to be due to matchups and kind of just seeing how it goes with Vargas right now. If he struggles again early, he might not see as much time. He might be on the bench here and there. He'll continue to kind of give it to Hunter here and there. So definitely one of those things to kind of monitor and see how it goes. Hunter so far obviously has been a big key for this team going forward. But they definitely need a big bat like Vargas, and it's going to be kind of important to see how he does here.
Absolutely. Another big transaction from this past week was Ricky Nolasco going back on the DL, this time with an ankle injury, and Tommy Malone comes back. Had some tough luck in his first start back, but Malone really seemed to make some serious strides at AAA.
Yeah, and obviously Nolasco had the injury earlier in the year, missed time with the elbow, and now it's the ankle. At least it's not arm-related, but he had a cortisone shot in his ankle last week to see how that was going to kind of heal. The Twins don't really have a timetable yet for Nolasco. It shouldn't be too long because once the kind of the cortisone shot kind of takes effect there in a few days, he's going to start kind of throwing again and ramping it back up. I'm assuming he probably won't need a rehab assignment or anything like that. And as you said, Malone had a great showing at AAA when he was demoted. It was lights out there. Only gave a couple of runs and all of his starts. And against Boston, right, he was a little bit snake-bitten. A couple unearned runs. I think he only gave up 2 earned runs in 5 innings with 2 unearned runs. So, yeah, it was one of those things where I think his time at AAA, you can see if he can translate it all. But he's a guy that definitely is a big part of that rotation now that Nolasco is on the DL.
And the biggest part of that rotation, both physically and not so figuratively, is Mike Pelfrey, 6'7" Mike Pelfrey, big Pelfrey. Been huge for this team, and that was probably his best start of the season on Sunday with 8 scoreless. And Rudd, I saw a stat on him that over the previous 2 seasons, he was throwing pitches low in the zone roughly a third of the time. This year, he's been down the zone almost half the time, almost half of his pitches, and that seems to have been the big key for them is controlling the ball down the zone and getting that weak contact.
Yeah, he's definitely been their best start of the season along with Kyle Gibson. Getting a lot of ground balls, which helps with a good infield defense with Dozier and Plouffe making strides defensively and Maurer as well. Now we'll kind of see how Escobar handles shortstop now that Santana's been down. Santana got a little better at short. I think the defense definitely helps with Pelfrey. But even the swings and misses, you know, yesterday 8 strikeouts, which is an improvement for him. So it's one of those things where, you know, Pelfrey's been a big surprise. This is a guy that wasn't even supposed to be in the rotation to start the year. It's supposed to be in the bullpen. And so far has been a big reason for the Twins' surprising success this year because he's been a pleasant surprise. I mean, that last start was his best start of the year to go 8 scoreless innings. The Twins really needed it considering, you know, they're coming off back-to-back losses to the last-place Brewers. Their bullpen needed a pick-me-up because they had just come off a doubleheader against the Red Sox and used J.R. Graham in a bullpen day on Saturday. So on a lot of fronts, they needed a big start from Pelfrey, and he really delivered because the big thing, too, the Twins right now offensively, early in the year, a lot of their success was because they were hitting with runners in scoring position. And right now, it's kind of gone away a little bit. And so it's kind of dried up. And it happened again, even in that win. They were 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position, but yet they won because Pelfrey kind of picked them up. So we'll kind of see if he can keep it going because it is such a surprise with what he's done. But, yeah, he's keeping the ball down in the zone. His splitter's been a big improvement for him and a big adjustment to get those swings and misses now, too. He's not just pumping fastball after fastball anymore. So he's kind of keeping the hitters guessing, too. So, yeah, he's definitely been a major reason for the Twins' success this season.
Speaking of dried up, Trevor Plouffe has really had a rough June here so far. Saw he had the day off on Sunday. What's being said about his struggles here the last couple weeks?
I'm not too concerned about it. They did give him a day off there. He's one of those guys that's the same thing, has been a big part of this offense, and even defensively the strides he's made. June, though, definitely has been rough on him. I think he's about like 1-for-24 to start out the month. But I think the Twins aren't really that worried. They know his track record of production. Had a really hot start to the year. He's just been a little mini slump here. It's kind of gave him a day off there to kind of clear his head. And, yeah, I'm not really too worried about him.
All right. There you have it from Rhett Bollinger, all things Twins, and I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.